for your word. We thank you that we have this opportunity to dig deep into it. Pray that your spirit would bless us each step of the way, that our eyes would be focused on the truth of your word. It's definitely a gift, Lord, that you speak to us in our own language so we can understand, and the wisdom that is contained in Scripture far exceeds even our understanding. So we pray that your Spirit, again, would guide us and really give us that wisdom that we need. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so you've got a handout. And if you didn't get a handout, Dee, did you get one? Did you come in after? Okay. I think Ray has them. Okay. Thanks. Everybody else should have one. Thank you. So, as you can see from the top of this, as we talked about two Sundays ago, we're continuing in our study of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to focus on a couple of the little bit more controversial gifts of prophecy and tongues. And then after that, we're going to go on to the fruit of the Spirit. But so the outline for what we're doing right now is going to be a little bit of an intro, and then we're going to talk about prophecy. And then tongues, which isn't on that outline. And then we're going to talk about the idea of continuation or cessation. And it's going to be, the challenge is going to be to not talk about this while we're in here. But I think it's good for us to get a foundation. So this is a foundation of prophecy and tongues, and then we're going to get a foundation of prophecy, a foundation of tongues, and then we'll talk about, and we'll kind of wrap it all up with, so what? You know, why are we talking about these things? Okay, so if you take a look at your outline, it pretty much follows that, and if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14, when we talked about, here you go, when we talked about the gifts of the Spirit over the last few weeks, we hit on some passages out of this larger part of Scripture, starting in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. That's really, you know, one of the most concentrated parts of the New Testament on the gifts of the Spirit. And then in chapter 14, Paul talks in depth about prophecy and tongues. So what I'd like to do as we read this, I want you to pay careful attention to what we read, you know, because if you're like me in the past, you just kind of read through this and you go, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's some contradictions here. There's things that must have applied back then that don't apply now. And it's easy to just kind of skim over it. But what I'd like you to do as we read it is to make observations, and then we're going to kind of jot those observations down as part of our introduction. Okay, so starting in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing praise with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. While prophecy is a sign for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? And if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. Okay. So, I'll just lead in with a couple of thoughts. As I said earlier, in chapters 12 to 14, Paul is he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But in the entire book of Corinthians, you know, what are the things, you know, what's he addressing? When you think about the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians, that letter, at kind of the, there's several things in there, but what's at the top of the list that you would say that Paul is writing his letter to this church about? General category. What's that? Disobedient worldly church. Okay. They're being disobedient. They're they're behaving worldly, right? Right. What's another issue? We didn't read it here, but what's another issue that he brings up? The Lord's Supper. Right. They're mistreating each other. They don't understand the true concept of the Lord's Supper. You know, some are eating, others are starving. They don't see that that's, you know, breaking of God's commands, and it's not really taking communion. So what about in this chapter on tongues and prophecy? I mean, so if you've got a church that has those problems, okay, they're a church, but they don't fully understand how they're supposed to live and behave with one another and before God. So within that context, now Paul is talking about not only gifts in general, but very specific gifts of prophecy and tongues. So when you think of this chapter, I mean, what's one of the problems that Paul sees with the Corinthians church and how they're exercising these gifts? Yeah, Tom. Using it for themselves and not for building up the church. I mean, how many times does Paul say, you know, build up the church in this chapter? Which is, we use those references when we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. That's why we have those gifts, so it's why they're given to us. It's not for ourselves, the edification of other people, the church, right? So, okay, that's when they're using them for selfish purposes, yeah? What else? There's confusion. What's causing the confusion? Yeah, they're kind of, not only they're doing it once, there's no order. It lacks order, right? Right. And I think that's a good summary of part of the problem that he's addressing with tongues. You got people that are speaking tongues and different languages, and nobody's interpreting, so nobody understands. They're more focused on this, what they think is this gift, and not on the purpose of it, right?
So they're focused on the event.
The event of the...
Not the meaning behind it.
Right.
The meaning of the message.
Right.
That the event itself is what gives you the power to each person.
Right. So the manifestation of it is what it's all about, and not the purpose of it, which... Paul clearly lays out and says they're here for a reason, and we'll talk about those reasons when we get into each of the topics. Okay. Anything else kind of in general about tongues and prophecy here? Yes, Troy.
Another emphasis on those gifts only increases the passion.
And where is that in here? Where's he talking about it? Are you just deducing that from it?
Scriptural issue.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Okay, now let's talk a little bit more specifically about prophecy and tongues. What are some takeaways about prophecy? What does Paul say about prophecy that maybe would be good for us to learn? Yes, James.
Like within the church, that was the preferred gift because it would edify people because they didn't understand.
Okay, so prophecy is preferred. Okay, all right, over tongues and for the reason and maybe other things that you said. Yeah. Yes. This one, okay, should be desired. Okay? Yes. It's for the edification of believers? Okay. I'm just saying of the church. All right. It's a witness to unbelievers. Okay. Yeah, and that's right. It is a witness to unbelievers. Okay. Okay, and you said in verse 36, Thomas?
Yes, verse 36. And I guess verse 37.
Okay, so you saying that it should come from the Word? It what?
It's saying, if anyone sees the prophet spiritual, he should acknowledge the things I'm writing are part of man.
Okay, in accord. Okay, we'll... Okay. All right, I'm going to star that one. Okay, what else? Anything else about... There's a lot here, isn't there? Right, and we'll get more into that when we get up here and talk about prophecy. What about tongues? What does this passage say about tongues? Okay, well, what about this? Does it say that tongues is inferior? It doesn't? Does anybody agree or disagree with that?
Well, he does say that he wishes that they all would prophesy versus. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather than prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues.
Right. I mean, I think what. here's what tongues is inferior. By itself, tongues, by itself. What about tongues interpreted? How does tongues interpreted compare with prophecy? They're functionally equivalent. So that's why he says, you know, he's making this point. Tongues by itself, nobody understands. It's not edifying to the church. Once it's interpreted, it's functionally equivalent to prophecy. Is functionally equivalent. Equivalent. Okay. One of the things that is brought up then is the gift of interpretation. So if you think about that, the event or the phenomena of speaking in tongues, if they're focused on that, well, really what Paul is saying is you should be equally focused on the ability to interpret these tongues so that there's understanding. In the body. And, I mean, if you think about it, you know, I've thought about doing this exercise where I had Edgar come up here and interpret what I'm saying in Spanish, and then somebody else that could speak Spanish interpret it back to English and see how close we got to it. But, I mean, it's that kind of interpretation. I mean, it really is a gift to be able to take what is spoken in a foreign language, and I know, Edgar, anybody that's fluent in a foreign language, and effectively interpret it so that it doesn't lose its meaning. So the significance of interpretation is in here as well. Let's see if there's anything else that I want to... Yes, Herman. No, I think that they're foreign languages. And we'll get into that when we get to part B. That's one option. Or somebody else, again, that has the ability, that the gift of interpretation. It doesn't necessarily mean that they had to understand that foreign language, but the primary purpose of it is for it to be understood in that foreign tongue, however it gets interpreted, either directly by hearing, which we saw at Pentecost. There were not only were there tongues spoken from all over the world, there were people that could speak those tongues from all over the world, and they understood what was being said. So, yes, Karen.
What is the years of Corinthians and then when the actual event happened in Acts? Are we talking 10 years later, a different generation? Are those same people hanging around and they have that gift, and so now everybody wants the gift? I'm just trying to kind of put it.
Well, it is part of that unfolding of the book of Acts. So I'm not sure from the beginning of the book of Acts, or from, chapter 2 to the end of the book of Acts, how many years that covers. But I don't think it would be a generation that's lost there.
The usual thought is that Paul's first letter was probably 1 Thessalonians. But 1 Corinthians is pretty early. Maybe 55 to 60 A.D. And Pentecost was 30 A.D.
Yeah.
25.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that case, but if that
far.
That's probably on the outside.
Yeah. I mean, it did take a while, because the church went forth from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and it took a while to get up to to Corinth, and then for the church to be established and enough time for problems, although it doesn't take very long for problems to creep in, but and then for those problems to be addressed. So, and why are you asking that, Karen? Just curious.
Well, because the Christians were so very narcissistic, and so you think if there were other believers coming from these other places who were at the actual event and had the gift of tongues, then they're just going to want what everybody has that they think is better. Because you kind of get that idea that they were looking at who they were in Christ by the gift as opposed to what Christ is on the cross.
Yes.
And so,
okay. Yeah.
I was just wondering if that would have anything to do with it, as opposed to they just heard about it, it was a generation or two before, and they were still lingering on.
Okay. I don't want. There's more that I could write about tongues. It's for the edification of the church, but it's also, it's a sign to unbelievers. So Paul has a whole passage in there that it's assigned to unbelievers. Down in verse 20 and following, where he says, he quotes from the Old Testament, "By people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord." And there's a lot to that. I mean, there's a New Testament, a Pentecostal aspect of that that goes with tongues as well. And then, we talked about in 1 Peter 4, he says that gifts are basically one of two types. They are, if you speak as though you're speaking the oracles of God, and if you do service or deeds, serve the Lord with your whole heart. So what types of gifts are these, word or deed gifts? Words, right. So they have that in common as well. But I think, one of the things that Paul is bringing up in this chapter is that they don't stand alone. They are complementary. I think, Troy, you used the word overlapping. They're very complementary and go together as a unit rather than as separate components. Okay. Any other points or questions about? Yes, Troy.
When it's a sign to the unbeliever, is it like in Acts where they recognize they're speaking to them in their own language? language and they don't see positivity, or is it that they're speaking to them in a language they can't understand and their ability to access it?
I think it's the latter, if I understand your question, because I think the sign to the unbeliever in Acts chapter 2 is the unbelieving Jew. God is speaking not in your tongue anymore, Jews. He's speaking to all these other people, and you can't understand. So, yes?
And if the information that we've spoken, it's basically the sharing of the gospel. It isn't new or extra information.
You're trying to get ahead. That's what we're going to talk about now. So, unless there's any other questions about this introduction, we'll talk about prophecy. Yes. Go ahead.
Do you think that was just a pagan practice that got imported to the church? Because those claims to have a language.
Yeah. I mean, it's a relatively new phenomena. It's like late 1800s is when it was introduced. And, yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to tongues. So, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about prophecy. Prophecy, first of all, we'll talk about the word origin. Prophecy comes from the Greek word prophemi. Okay. All right, so somebody, you English majors or English teachers, help me with the etymology of this word. What's pro mean? Before? For? Okay, I'll put for. Anybody else have any other? Pro. Yeah. Before. Okay. Isn't it interesting that before has multiple meanings too? Doesn't it? All right. And then Femi is to speak. So, if you look at this, and you just kind of do it back, if you have speak before, what does that mean? What does it mean if you just say speak before? Or, you know, when you think of prophecy, what does that mean? Okay, so you're saying before as in time. Is there another meaning for the word before? In front of.
You shall go with us before me in front of me. Your action is in my face.
Right. So, I think, you know, what we'll find as we go through this, that the best interpretation for this word is speak in front of. And, you know, so as a spokesperson, I think the tendency is to think of speak ahead of time, right? So it's something that's going to happen because there are both aspects to prophecy. And I think we tend to focus on the time aspect. Oh, prophecy prediction. And it's not necessarily the case. I mean, prophecy does not necessarily mean prediction, and that's what we're going to, and this will, I hope it'll start to answer some of your questions, Jeff, about the content and everything. If you think of prophecy as only predictions, well, then we've got some learning to do. I know I have. So let's talk about how this word prophet and prophecy comes up in Scripture. And let's do that by looking at the original prophet. Who's the original prophet? Huh? Well, the original prophet, Moses, right? And actually, you know, it would have been extra credit if you would have said Aaron, because Aaron was Moses' prophet. But we'll look at it. So if we go to yes, if we go to Exodus 4, 15 and following. Exodus 4, 15 and following. And we're gonna do a little survey of Moses and what, as the original prophet, you know, where prophecy originated in Scripture with Moses. So here we are. This is in context, you know, Moses is being called on by the Lord to speak to Pharaoh and do all these things. You know, he's going to give him signs so that his people in Egypt will be released. So verse 10, so I have 15. Do I want to go down to 15? Yeah, I'm going to go back up to 10. But Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff, which you shall do the signs." So I think the reason I said it would have been extra credit, Moses is the true prophet because he shall be as God to Aaron, right? And Aaron is going to speak whatever Moses tells him to speak. So to the people, Aaron is a prophet because he's speaking the words of God. We've got this interpretation from God to Moses, to Aaron, to the people. God is with each step of the way. But you have Moses here being told that he's going to be the representative of God before the people. And that is, you know, his commissioning as a true prophet. Okay, now I'd like to turn over to chapter 19. So this is, you know, this conversation we just saw was between God and Moses. And then, of course, Moses and Aaron have a conversation. And now we get to see that it's actually being put into practice before the people and how it actually came to work. I'm going to start at, so this is at Mount Sinai. And what happened at Mount Sinai? The giving of the law. Okay, verse 19 is the build up to that. And I'm going to start in verse 5. Now therefore, let's see who's talking here. The Lord called Moses out. So he's talking to Moses. Now therefore, if you will indeed, and this is what Moses is to tell the people, sorry. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. And that's what God said to Moses. Verse 7. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever." and then go down to verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. Also, let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, 'Set limits around the mountain and consecrate it.'" And the Lord said to him, "Go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. So here we have, and then what happens in chapter 20? Moses gives the Ten Commandments, which was a prophetic utterance of Moses. And there's nothing in that, in those Ten Commandments, that are future. They are present. You know, this is the law of God as prophecy by Moses. But you can see here that in chapter 19 that that God is speaking to Moses and demonstrating to the people that Moses is his representative, so that they will believe everything that Moses has to say, because what he's about to say is the most important thing that had been said to man since the commandment to Adam in the garden. Now he's going to give them his law and speak it to them clearly through the prophet Moses. Okay, and then quickly, one other, it's a parallel passage to this. If you go over to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and this is Moses recounting what we just read, and that the whole Mount Sinai experience. And starting in verse 1, and then what is in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy? The Ten Commandments, right. So at the beginning, in verse 1, "And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, 'Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at that time, to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain,' he said." So here we see, you know, what's the role of the prophet? To speak God's word, but how, I mean, what was the relationship between God and Moses and the people? Why was he in between God and the people? Yeah, they were afraid, right? I don't know if you, when I was reading that in chapter 19 of Exodus, but the sound, you know, the fire, the mountain shaking, I mean, it's not, we shouldn't underestimate the power of God's presence. The smells, the sound, I mean, the trumpets getting louder and louder, and the people are scared to death. And that's what Moses is saying here. He's reminding them that he stood between God and the people to protect them and to provide the information that God wanted to give them. You know, so God wanted to speak to them, but to do so directly could have meant their death. And in fact, if we go down after the Ten Commandments to verse 22, these words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, that's the Ten Commandments, the cloud and the thick darkness with a loud voice, and he added no more, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And as soon as you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speak with man, and man is still alive. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have and has still lived? Moses, go near and hear all that the Lord our God will say and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it. So here you've got, you know, from beginning to end, that commissioning of Moses as the first prophet and why we need a prophet. I mean, why prophecy exists in Scripture, or why, I should say, why a prophet exists in the first place. Thinking about ending it right there before I jump into the next section here. So, does anybody have any questions or comments about this? Yes, Diane.
When God spoke to people, did they understand his words, or did only Moses?
That's a good question. I don't know that Scripture makes that clear. I mean, it does say that we have heard his voice. But it also says we've seen God speak with man. We hear the voice of the Lord our God. Okay.
Or Moses there says, when you heard God, remember you did see an image.
Yeah.
You know, so apparently they heard it.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, Herman.
The reason we were the Sabbath keeping is different than other measures.
You're saying verse 15, the fourth commandment? And you're saying it's different from the Exodus account? Yeah, I don't. I would have to do a comparison to see what the main difference is, but yeah, it's yeah, I see it. Okay, and what's
Exodus emphasizes the creation. Here it talks about slavery.
Okay. All right. Well, I think they both apply. I mean, I think it's just a further revealing of what the intent of the fourth commandment is there. Yeah. Yes, Jeff.
That which Moses prophesied is written in Scripture.
Yes.
In the New Testament, you have the Apostle Paul saying, wow, prophecy is fantastic. I wish everybody did.
Yeah.
Why don't we have all these extra books?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think when we talk next week, we'll learn a little bit more about what prophecy is and what it isn't, you know, in the New Testament. So we'll move from the Old Testament, you know, beginnings of prophecy, and then on into the New Testament, prophethood of believers. Think about that. And really what prophecy in the New Testament means and doesn't mean. So we'll do that next week. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Let me see. You've got your outline there, so there's quite a few scripture references there. There's one that's not on there that I wanted to put under D, lest I forget it, and that is, we just read this last night, it is 1 No, 2 Peter 1. Let's see if I can find it here. 2 Peter 1, 16 and following. So if you could put that in your references under prophecy, D, New Testament references to prophecy. That'd be a good passage to read for next week, among all those others. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you brought Moses and you spoke to him and demonstrated your power to your people through Moses. We thank you for the greater Moses, that we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who allows us to come into your presence and not be consumed, to not fear, though you are a mighty and powerful God, to not quiver and quake, but to seek refuge and to have a loving relationship with you. What a blessing that is, Lord, and how we often don't value it enough. We thank you for this day, and we pray that you would remind us of your grace this day as we rest from our work. We thank you for that blessing as well, and for the blessing to fellowship and to worship together. In Christ's name, amen.